819, Brian French is an outdoor enthusiast and observer of the natural world. He joins us every other Tuesday for a feature called North Shore with Brian French. Live in the studio this morning, and we're talking about tree blood.
We're talking about maple syrup.
Yeah, which is much more better.
It sounds better, at least.
It sure does.
So, the North Shore is great because we have a proliferation of a lot of different kinds of trees, but one of them that we are lucky to have is a good variety of maple trees. So right now we are in the sweet spot of, of maple syrup production. So maple sap runs best when daytime temperatures are in the high 30s, mid 40s, and then the overnight temperatures get down below freezing. So, like, this week is going to be perfect for maple syruping.
Didn't somebody say, though, that the warm temperatures that we had when it got up, like, the 60s could be bad for maple syrup? I mean, hadn't somebody rushed to catastrophize the whole
thing? Right. So, I mean, basically, when you've got that freeze-thaw, you have sort of a like a suction happening with the tree. So when it gets cold, the tree will pull its sap down, and then when it gets warm, it'll release the sap up. And so when it's warm, really warm, you know, in the 60s, the sap doesn't want to come back down. It's that cycle of above freezing days, below freezing nights, and that needs to go on for a few days to really get a good flow started and good flow going.
Okay.
Sometimes here in Minnesota, you will find sap flowing as early as in January. Sometimes it'll be as late as May. Usually for us, it's mid-March, March 15th or so through about mid-April. That's kind of our area when the sap runs. If you're going to tap a tree, you don't want to tap a tree that's going to be less than about 10 inches in diameter.
Okay.
And then from there, basically...
And is it just because it's just too young?
It's too young.
And
exactly.
It needs its sap.
Well, and right. And so when you are going to tap a tree, you're going to drill a hole into the tree. And when the tree is that small, a hole ends up being a significant portion of the tree. Whereas when it's a big tree, it's a significantly smaller proportion of the tree.
All right.
We have four species of maple that are typically used for sap production. Commercial producers will, of course, prefer sugar maple for the sweetest sap, but you can also get it from red maple, silver maple, and box elder is actually it's a relative of the maple tree, and so you can tap a box elder tree. You can actually tap any tree and create...
I was going to ask you this. This is my eyes big with, because box elder...
I see them. They're big.
From where I've lived, the places that I've lived, the box elder tree is inexorably linked with the box elder bug.
Yep.
But you can tap box elder. See,
absolutely.
You have no idea how happy this makes me.
Yeah. So, well,
this is a big darn deal.
Because sap has, you know, any tree sap will have some percentage of sugar in it. And, of course, sugar maple has a very high, it's like 2% of the sap is sugar. And then different kinds of trees have significantly less, you know, depending on how far away from the maples you get. But so, yeah, box elder are still in that maple family. And so you can tap and create syrup from a box elder tree. You can do it from others. I've heard people talk about creating sap from a red pine and or syrup from a red pine. And they said it's horrible. But it was more of a exercise. Proof of concept, sort of a thing.
Well, the sap. What is it? Is it red or white pine sap that gets all over the lawn furniture, and it's just on everything? It's so
sticky. Yeah, balsam
sticky.
Fir is probably what you're thinking
of.
Yeah,
and but eating
it's
it is
very,
just
well,
you?
Right. It's yeah, it's not. It's a unique flavor experience. How's
okay,
that?
You can't add like some. Well, what if you added a little bit of maples? What if you made like a hybrid?
Yeah, that'd be an interesting experiment. Yeah,
could you sweeten it enough that it might
that
taste?
That might be interesting.
It might taste. It might have notes of pine.
There you go.
Or notes of box elder bug or something.
So typically, when you're tapping trees, you want to have about 40 gallons of sap, which will make 1 gallon of syrup. That varies a pretty wide range, just depending on how sweet, how much sugar is in the sap of that particular tree that year, depending on how much water and rainfall we've had the previous year and how the winter went. And so, I mean, there are a lot of variables, but in general, 40 gallons of sap turns into 1 gallon of syrup. You do it by boiling. And this is like a morning, night, all day affair. And a lot of people will collect all of their sap. And then when the weekend comes, they just sit out and boil.
And they have people over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And, you know, people come over and it's just kind of a big jolly, hey, I'm at a maple sugaring hoo-ha thing.
Right, exactly. And that's one of the fun experiences that folks can have. This is a seasonal thing that people do every year. And so, you know, some people go wild ricing later in the year. Maple syruping is just, you know, going and collecting blueberries.
Apple stuff.
Right. So this is one of those things that people do. So basically what you do is you're cooking off substantial quantities of water out of the sap, and usually people are going to do it outside. When you do it inside, and folks have, but you create so much humidity in the house that, I mean, you can actually get just water dripping from your windows. And
it's been very dry this year. You might want to start it in the house for a little bit. I'm just saying it's been really, really dry. Your floors might thank you.
So as the water keeps boiling off, you're going to keep adding sap, and you want to do it sort of in small amounts so that you don't you want to keep that boil going. You don't want to just pour in a whole another gallon of sap so that it kills the boil, because you just want to keep that process moving along. You'll have a candy thermometer, and those are easy to get. And you just have that at the side of the pan, and you're monitoring the temperature of the sap.
Because if anybody who's ever done any cooking or baking knows, it is so easy to burn sugar.
Right.
So you got to really keep an eye on it, no doubt.
And most people who are doing this are doing it outside, and so they've just got firewood. And so they're throwing, you know, logs under the fire, and you kind of move it around to make it hotter or colder. Eventually, you keep putting the sap into smaller pans, or you keep on boiling it down. So I know a lot of people will have the wood fire under, I mean, an old bathtub that they're burning or something like that. And then as that boils down, I mean, I've seen all kinds of fun little, you know, some people have an old science classroom sink that has a spigot that comes out of it. And so when there's enough water that's been boiled off from the big one, then they'll drain it through the spigot, because, you know, you've got little flecks of stuff up on the top.
Yeah.
So it comes out the bottom, and then they'll finish the syrup on a, like, a little propane stove outside.
Nice.
Yeah. So when the temperature of the sap reaches 219 degrees, you're done.
Okay.
That's the sweet spot.
Literally.
I've said that twice. Sorry. too many times. So then you strain the syrup, you know, cheesecloth or something like that. You pour it into jars and you throw it in the fridge. If you want to store it indefinitely, you can actually can it. Just, you know, like regular canning.
Really?
Yep. And then you can just throw it in the pantry and it's good indefinitely.
You know what they used to do on Little House in the Prairie?
What?
I mean, the books.
Yeah, what?
The kids would take the syrup and they'd go outside and they'd get some and they'd put it on the snow and they'd make patterns with it on the snow.
Yeah,
and then
it
would harden into syrup candy, and they would eat that.
Yeah.
So how do you make maple syrup candy?
Well, I mean, you just named it. That's
really it.
That's it.
Oh, that's so good.
I went to the Rogatsky Farm. They have a sugar bush up here in town, kind of up off the Tisher Road, and they were pouring syrup into snowbanks, and then it would, you know, go down, and then it would, you know, basically you have this little stick.
Little frozen stick of syrup.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, and that's something that folks might enjoy, is to go out and get a tour of the Rogatsky Farm. I'm sure that there are others around. That's just one that I would
pop in. I would put Sugar Bush or Maple Sugaring, Northland or Duluth MN or whatever town you're closest to, and I bet you'd find all kinds of cool things on
online. So locally, the reports have been varying as far as how much syrup folks make, or how much sap people have been getting. Some people have reported everything from not a drop to the sap is running well. It sounds like people are generally harvesting about a gallon per tree so far. Although with this week, the temperatures look good, and so hopefully that'll increase. I read a report of one person having tapped 278 trees, with most of them flowing well. Now, when you tap that many trees, that's a lot of work. So,
yeah,
because you have to collect that. And I've read stories of moose coming along and nudging the top off your bucket and just drinking the sap. So,
oh, those rascally moose.
And then another person reported 25 gallons of sap from 30 stingy trees. So, yeah. Now, right here at UMD, on the UMD campus, the Rec Sports Outdoor Program is having their maple syruping programs, where you can learn syruping history, How sap is collected and turned into maple syrup. You can actually go out and tap maples, collect sap, and you can sample both, you know, the sap and the syrup.
Yeah, like they could keep me from it. like they could keep my fingers out of it. Sure.
That's going to be on March 30th. The program runs from 5 to 7 p.m. That's Monday, March 30th. And you need to register by noon on March 27th. And all you have to do is just dress for the weather and show up at the Bagley Nature Area classroom. It's $3 for UMD students and $7 for others. And if you just call the Rec Sports Outdoor Program number, they can get you all set up.
Fantastic.
So, got a little poem today.
Do ya?
Yeah, this
all
is
right.
From Donald Hall. It's an excerpt from a poem that he wrote called Maple Syrup. I remember coming to the farm in March in sugaring time as a small boy. Grandpa carried the pails of sap, 16-quart buckets, dangling from each end of a wooden yoke that lay across his shoulders, and he emptied them into a vat in the sap house where fire burned day and night for a week. Today, we take my grandfather's last quart of syrup upstairs, holding it gingerly, and we wash off 25 years of dirt. We pull and pry the lid up, cutting the stiff, dried rubber gasket, and we dip our fingers in, you and I both, and taste the sweetness of a dead man preserved.
Brian French is an outdoor enthusiast and observer of the natural world and a fan of gorgeous poetry. He joins us every other Tuesday for a feature called North Shore with Brian French. Funding for this program is provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.